Okay, do you hear me? Okay, so I'm sorry about the issues. That means in the recording you have seen me, but you have to be able to understand the deaf language in order to understand. Well, just very briefly tell what we did. I explained first what we are going to do today. Then I said before we do what we are supposed to do today, I would like to go through some of the solutions of the exercises. Then I told you that the solutions are depicted the way I would like you to do that, best practice. So this is explained in the slides. Then I told you that the first two exercises, they depict problems from the point of view of the bad guy and the solutions from the point of view of the bad guy. So for us, it is interesting to know what the bad guys needs to do, because then we can improve our defenses. I said also that the first two exercises, they are conceptually a bit more difficult than the others, but since they are archetypes of the kind that we see later, the first one is an archetype of the type out of control, the second one is relative control, and you will see similar solutions later. Then if we concentrate on some other examples, then the first and the second exercise should be easier for you to solve. I don't want to discuss everything, because I want you to do some effort yourself, so I leave some of these things for you. But if you have questions, either in class or later, you contact me. We have email, but we have also the query and answer part, Q&A part in front. Okay, so I would like to dwell. Number three, we solved it last time. So I would like to go to exercise number four. Here you see it. It's about an organization, and they want to improve their throughput. Throughput is simply what the organization, where the company delivers. So for Statoil, the throughput is delivering oil and gas. For a service organization, is doing some kind of service and so on. So it is an abstract name representing what company or the enterprise or organization is doing for its living. So they have an ambitious goal to increase the throughput, and that means they have some target for the throughput. So the issue continues here, the definition continues, to achieve this, resources are primarily allocated to closing the throughput gap. And here you have a very clear hint that there is a gap that needs to be closed. And if there is a gap that needs to be closed, there must be a target to achieve. And it says further, the resources are primarily allocated to closing the throughput gap, while security is neglected. And then the challenge is to propose a problem archetype, expressing how the intended outcome, which is achieving the throughput objectives, leads to the unintended consequences as security incidents cause downtime. Then you get a question, what kind of archetypes it is, and afterwards, when you found the archetype, the right problem archetype, propose a solution, and tell the story, the dynamic story explaining the archetype. The way I pose these exercises is so that you don't need to invent things. Everything that you need is actually there. So actually the challenge is to read it very carefully and translate the text to a solution. Sometimes students invent a lot of things. You give them a challenge and then they put a lot of things that are not there. When you later work professionally, you will have to do things like this, because you don't get fully defined problems. So you get so-called wicked problems, in which solving the problem means actually defining what the problem is. So an organization has typically some symptoms, some problems with performance, with throughput or security, whatever. And in order to solve the problem, you have to actually word it, express clearly what the problem is. But in my exercises, everything is in place. So what you need to do is to read very, very carefully what is in there and translate that. So the other thing which is important in developing solutions is to make it simple and take a step at a time. In the case of archetypes, what you have to do is first concentrate on the intended outcome. So there is some action, some intervention in order to achieve something. And that's what you intend to do. And you should do this and forget about everything else. And when you have done that, then you can take the next step, the unintended outcome. And after doing that, you have the problem archetype. And then you identify the archetype and you find out what is the solution, which actually you can just look up, because for each problem archetype, there is a specific solution. So let's look at the solution. Well, we concentrate now on the left-hand side, and we concentrate on the intended part of it, which is this one, which I call closing the throughput gap. And there you see the elements in the definition. You see that there is a throughput gap, and this throughput gap is because the actual throughput, where I'm pointing to here, and the desired throughput are different. So typically the desired throughput is more ambitious, it is a higher goal. So this defines a throughput gap, and the story is, because of the throughput gap, the decision is made to provide more resources to production, and these resources to production, they will increase the throughput, and because the throughput increases, this decreases the throughput gap. And this is a balancing loop, that's why I put a B there, and the name that I propose for this loop is closing the throughput gap. Questions to that? Everything is clear. Okay. Now, if we continue with the definition of the problem, it says the intended outcome, which is to achieve the throughput gap, or the achieve the throughput objectives, or the target, leads to unintended consequences as security incidents cause downtime. So we have to put in here problems with security, and the downtime, I could have put downtime here, but downtime means there are production problems. If the organization has to close, then you get problems with production. So here you have the possibility of putting just downtime, or put something that is equivalent. I chose here to put production problems. Then you see this allocation to production is neglecting security. So you are getting less to security. And with some time delay, which is what that means, this is going to lead to security incidents. The polarity minus from allocation to production to allocation to security says, in this case, in this story, allocating more to production leads to forget about security, so less of security. And less of security, because of the negative polarity, means more security incidents. And this doesn't happen immediately, because even if you have weaker security, which is decreasing over the time, so it takes time before the attacks start increasing, discovered, and so on and so on. But anyhow, as the security incidents increase, you get more and more production problems, and this is going to affect throughput through a negative polarity, decreasing throughput. And if you follow this loop here, it is a reinforcing loop. And you can see that if the throughput class increases because of more ambitious target for throughput, then the allocation to production increases. This decreases the allocation to security. This will increase, with some time delay, the security incidents. This will increase this production problems. This is going to decrease the throughput, which means this is going to increase the gap. So an increase in the gap gets reinforced. And that's the problem that the unintended consequence is you are getting security problems that are actually going against the organization's target to increase throughput. Of course, you have a fight between two effects. On the one hand, pooling resources to increase production and throughput. On the other hand, you get the break from the security incidents. And how much, what is the balance between these two? This can be different in different organizations. They can be minor problems, it can be big problems, it can be huge problems. It could even lead, theoretically, to a catastrophe for the company if it is not able to supply needed throughput, and it loses its customers and so on. So the archetype is qualitative. If we were to make a model for a real organization, we will have to put in the relations, the equations, the data, the numbers for that organization. Then we will simulate what happens and see what the outcome is. But for the time being, the important thing for us is to understand we have a problem, and the problem results from the unintended impact on security. Now, as to the solution archetype, the first thing we do is, what kind of archetypes do we have? And if you look at the lecture, or if you remember, this is an out-of-control archetype. And the book solution to an out-of-control archetype is to create a link from the outcome, which is throughput, to one of the variables in the other loop. In this case, the idea would be to increase the allocation to security. And if you look at the result of putting this link here, of the decision to increase the allocation to security, then you see that this is a reinforcing loop that is counteracting the problems, the security problems, and again increasing the throughput. The other thing that you need to pay attention is this metaphor of the boundary. When we put a boundary, it is a way of expressing that the unintended feedback loop, which is causing the problems, is not seen or not clearly seen for the decision makers. There can be many reasons for that. It could be because it occurs somewhere else. It could be because they haven't thought of it. It can be because it takes a long time to appear and so on. But in order to be able to solve such problems, you need to understand that something is hiding from your view of the solution. So I put here a dashed line indicating that in order to see this, you have to unblock this boundary. You have to see through that in some way, which means it is actually an exercise. You have to figure out what are the causes and so on, or find information as to a problem is occurring somewhere, whatever. But everything is connected in respect. So that was the exercise number 4. Do you have some questions to that? Okay, everybody seems to be happy. But then I am going to show you a different but related problem. If you look at the lecture that we had last week, then we had this situation here. Security is a secondary concern for most organizations. The primary concern is the mission, and that means to maximize the profit, maximize the throughput. And then there is a nice quote here from a book that typically security problems, they are delegated to younger guys because it is a secondary concern. So the focus of the management of the company, the senior management, is maximizing throughput, while security issues are in the shadow of attention. And here you see the boundary hidden from senior management by organizational or mental boundaries, lack of knowledge, lack of awareness, whatever. So here you have the challenge to propose a problem archetype and so on. This is quite similar to the other one, but it is not the same. because in this case, it is not of achieving some target. It's of all the time increasing. And that's why you have a different type of archetype. In this case, the intended consequence loop is to reinvest resources. You are making profit, reinvest to expand the organization, to produce more, and so on and so on. So in this case, you get a different issue. You still have an unintended consequence, but in this case, it is a balancing loop. It's kind of a break on the desire to expand and so on. So you have to pay very close attention as to what the problem is, because such small details can lead to a completely different archetype. So in this case, the fact that the organization is not saying, we have this throughput, we want to get that throughput, we have a gap. In this case, it's very different. We want all the time to increase our throughput. The sky is the limit, in principle. And that means that's a very different archetype then. Okay? So back now to the solve exercise. So we got an out of control archetype. Now I would like to look at number 5. Which presents a different challenge. So, challenge number 5, exercise number 5, is like this. You have an organization that has been performing in the usual way, but it is re-engineering its business towards e-business. Kind of what happened with bookshops before you had Amazon, and then they introduced Amazon and everything became a business. The transition is accomplished gradually by moving parts of the business from a traditional way to e-business. And again, you have the usual questions, propose a problem archetype, but I am telling you, I'm giving you the details, expressing how the intended outcome, swift transition to e-business, might lead to unintended consequences through novel security risk. And the questions, what archetype, and propose the solution, and tell a story to that. Now, how should we interpret this case, this story? Is it about setting a target, and you have that much traditional bookshops and now making all e-business, closing their normal stores, just making a store for books and only having online business? Or is it about a continuously expanding? So you move what you have first, but then you grow and grow and grow. You have to decide upon that, because as in the previous exercise, if it is achieving a target, then you have to close a gap. But if it is about moving and growing and so on, then it is a question of a reinforcing feedback. In this case, it is not completely clearly expressed in the archetype what it should be. So if you chose to make a defined target, then I wouldn't complain, let's say in an exam. I chose to focus on the fact that typically this online business will grow all the time. So that's why I put here this archetype here. The action is transition to e-business. The outcome is to achieve more e-business. And this is a process that will go on all the time, because in doing that, you are having success. And because if you have success, you do more of that. So you are all the time moving more and growing towards e-business. So the intended feedback loop is called focus on transition. Now, since you are moving from having books and selling the over-the-counter to doing that online, you are using networks, you are prone to attacks and incidents and so on, and While you are doing this, you are exposing yourself to attacks. So this is creating vulnerabilities. And the more, the bigger your business becomes, the more vulnerabilities in principle you have, the bigger the networks, the bigger the services and so on. So you have a link from e-business, which is an unintended consequence, to more vulnerabilities. And the more vulnerabilities you get, the bigger the impact back on your business. And this happens with some time delay. So this is the problem archetype. And then you see, what kind of archetype is this? It is an underachievement archetype, where the intended outcome, which is to grow through a reinforcing loop, is counteracted by a balancing archetype, which I call unintended generation of vulnerabilities. The issue here is typically that there is a security knowledge gap, or perhaps also a security technological gap. And in order to solve the problem, in addition to seeing what the problem is, which is the Dutch boundary here, you have to invest in security knowledge, invest in security technology. So there can be different interpretations. It can be both knowledge and technology and so on, in order to close this gap here. And you can see this is a reinforcing loop. More transition to e-business should lead to more investing in security knowledge, which will reduce the gaps, which will reduce the vulnerabilities, which will increase the e-business, which will make it easier to transition. So this is a reinforcing loop that counteracts the balancing loop. And I call that matching knowledge to the new business. Questions to that? And as you see, I put in the next slide the whole story once more, with all the details. And when you get now, and I think that's next week, isn't that so? Next week we have the obligatory project. You are getting some challenge in terms of finding archetypes and solutions. So the better you follow the best practice, I am so immodest that I call it best practice, the better you follow this, the more points you will score. So, and that's all the recommendations: to read very carefully the assignment, to translate that to a model, to put everything in place in the right order with all the details, polarities, loops, boundaries and so on. And then in the end, explaining in a convincing way what you have done, telling the story. Okay? So that was number 5. And now we have seen 2 different archetypes for information security and out of control and in underachievement. Now we move to number 6, which is an interesting, very interesting problem. It's about trust. And here is the challenge. An organization decides to invest in detection of malicious insider activities. So it wants to prevent, there might be bad guys, that the smart guys prepare an attack and conduct an attack. And it says, propose a problem archetype expressing how the intended outcome, which is an increased detection of potential insider activities, might lead to management distrust of employees. And also consider the same archetype from the point of view of underinvesting in detection of potential insider threats. And then the typical questions, what kind of archetypes is and so on. The key to solving this is to pay attention to the word potential. When you are setting up a system to detect activities, there can be false positives. So you are getting some signals, they may really be activities to launch an attack, but there can be so-called false positives. They look like that, but they are not. This is always a problem with all kinds of devices that you set up to detect signals. Also, intrusion detection devices, they will give you both true and false positives. And you can also get false and true negatives. Everything, even when you take a medical test as well. So for instance, many women, they are concerned about breast cancer, and they go from a certain age and take regularly mammographies. And there is about 10% probability that there is a false positive. So something seems to be not normal in the breast and could be cancer. But in 10% of the cases, it's not. Another thing is that this leads to serious issues that many doctors don't understand. Because many doctors, they forget the baseline. And that is that the probability of having breast cancer in that age group is perhaps only 1%. And you have to consider both the base probability and a false negative to know what is the probability of a woman that has, say, you get a mammography indicating cancer, how big is the probability that it is that she has breast cancer? And that is much, much, much lower than you would expect. So many women get a shock when they tell, okay, the mammography seems to indicate that you have cancer. They don't know that still the probability that they have a breast cancer is very low. What happens in that situation is that then you have to take probes of the tissue. And these are more certain, because then you put them to grow and then you can see if that is cancer or not. But that has nothing to do now with with this. I just told that because it turns out that very many, many medical doctors, the majority, don't understand the maths of conditional probabilities and make tremendous mistakes and scare the women who get a positive mammography. Okay, so the issue here is to pay attention on the potential inside activities. You are detecting something that could be inside activities but could not be. But the issue is that this influences the trust level, because this is the decision to invest in detection capacity, and that leads to increased detection capacity, and that leads to an increase perceived signals of insider's activities. They are perceiving them, okay, and you are detecting those. So typically, the managements will say, oi, we have to pay attention. They are not going to close there and say, okay, forget it. They are going to pursue this more and more because they are getting concerned. So if you think like this, you are focusing on detection capacity, and because you are getting such signals that could be malicious signals, they are getting more concerned, and you reinvest in more detection capacity. The unintended consequence is you are getting signals that there may be insiders. And that may lead, it will lead over time, with increasing distrust or decreasing trust. That's why the minus is. And if you are getting decreased trust, then this is going, of course, to increase the signals indicating insiders. Because that's among other things, annoying your employees and perhaps creating resentments and motivating those who are really insiders to revenge and so on. And this is a fact. So what do you get? You get two reinforcing loops. The first loop is reinforcing, but the second also. You get more perceived signals, which could be both positive and negative, true and false positives, then that is going to decrease trust, because it decreases trust, that's going to lead to more such signals. also because the management will interpret more of the signals as danger. So this is reinforcing, and then you can see that trust here is a dangerous thing, or it has both positive and negative aspects. So in such a case, a possible solution will be to conduct separate tasks, which is audits, and that will lead to a desired increased detection capacity, and you could have a balancing lab to adjust the capacity to some level, so that it doesn't, you stop, so to speak, investing. You achieve some level, that's how much I want to invest in detection capacity. Because if you continue investing and making it finer and finer, you are getting more and more signals and so on. So the solution is this balancing loop. Then I see now it's 11. I programmed the recording to 11 o'clock. We take now a break of 15 minutes, and I make a new recording for the next hour. You must ask questions, by the way, if you have questions.